The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, and good morning. Thank you for joining us here on The Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and 88.1 in Lee, WSBR. Today is Monday, May 11th, so welcome to May 11th. I'm Brian Burkle, I'll be your host today. We are, as always, live and local this morning at the WTBR studio on Federico Drive. And today we are going to be talking about getting outside, really taking advantage of some of the wonderful things we have here in Berkshire County as far as natural resources. So we have Jenny Hansel, who is the president of the Berkshire Natural Resource Council, which some of you may be familiar with. If you have explored any of the trails here in Berkshire County, you've probably seen their signage along the routes and at the trailheads. But they're much more than that. We also have Becky Cushing Gopp, who's the regional director for Mass Audubon, stationed here in the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary down in Lenox. So we've got lots to talk about, lots of events to put on your agenda to get outside. Before we do that, speaking of getting outside, we will check the weather and see what's in store for us.
Sure weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny. Highs around 60. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly clear. Widespread frost after midnight. Lows in the lower 30s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, I heard the word frost in there. Anybody else hear that? yeah, not what I was hoping for. I'm actually trying to find that sweet spot to get out there and finish planting my garden.
I have tomato plants all over my house because I can't get them outside yet.
I know. I have a bunch of stuff that I grew downstairs in the, you know, under the lights downstairs to get them started, and I keep bringing them outside during the day to get them to acclimate to the natural air. Natural sunlight, but then bring them in every night, you know, so I just want to put them outside.
Yeah.
I just want to get on with this, right? Welcome everybody for joining us again here. This is The Morning Drive, and we have in-house today a couple of guests who are going to talk to us about getting outside and being out in the fantastic resources, the wilderness resources that we have here, the trails and all the wildlife that there is to see and all kinds of events. So we have, first I'll introduce you to Jenny Hansel, who is the president of Berkshire Natural Resource Council. Jenny, how are you?
Good morning.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And we also have Becky Cushing Gopp. Becky is the regional director at Mass Audubon here at the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary in Lenox.
Good morning.
How are you? You can pull that in a little closer.
All right.
Sorry, we didn't do a little rehearsal in advance, but if you can just pull that in, you can pull that in. Yeah, there. Great.
Settling in here.
Yes. Yes. Thank you both for being here. What's going on? Who wants to start kind of telling us what's happening in your neck of the woods, literally, as they say, right?
I'm happy to start.
Right.
I mean, what's happening in the neck of the woods? What's happening around the Berkshires? I guess the birds are returning, and we're hearing more every morning.
Uh-huh.
And that's sort of the call to, like, let's get out there. Let's see what's going on. You know, we're also hearing frogs at night. Someone was complaining, like, the windows are open and it's so loud now, but not really complaining, right? It's like this is what pulls us, I think, as everything starts to awaken. And so out on the trails, I mean, this is why we love the Berkshires. This is why we live in the Berkshires. There's so many places that we can get outside. I'm a big fan of BNRC, and I live in Lenox, so I'm getting out to Parsons Marsh and Pleasant Valley. Pleasant Valley is where my office is, and we have 7 miles of trail, including an accessible all-persons trail. So it's just a great place. In these, as you were mentioning, it's chilly outside. So if, even if you just want to get out for a short bit, you can get out and see who's returning. The leaves are coming out. The spring ephemerals are up. And there's just a lot of programming and events that we have on the calendar to help people get out and learn what's happening all around them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You mentioned the frogs, right? And, yeah. And yeah, I mean, we hear them down by the river and so forth, right? But there was a number of years ago, I used to hear this noise in the evenings, right? And it sounded like a bird that would chirp. You guys probably already know what I'm talking about. But I would hear this little chirping noise, and I could never find, like, I'd always go near the bushes where I heard it, and then it would stop, and I didn't see the bird. And then there's one time, there's this little bush that had, like, very few leaves on it, and I'm like, I'm going to find this bird this time. And I walked down there, and I'm like, I'm right on top of this bush, and there's no bird. I'm like, what is that? And then finally, I realized it's a little frog there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Then I found another one later, and I caught it in the act of making the noise. I said, so that was a frog all that time,
yeah,
making that whistling noise in the
little
evening.
Frog makes a big noise.
Yeah, and I thought it was a bird. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a chirping bird, but anyway, I'm sure you probably already know the name of all those things anyway, but it was a little experience for me, a little learning experience.
But isn't that magical when you discover it for yourself? I mean, it's wonderful,
yeah,
to go on a nature walk and have somebody point things out to, mm-hmm, you, but when you're the one who's out there and you notice your own senses, you hear it, you see it,
mm-hmm,
you realize what it is. I just think there's, you know, when we were children, right, we were out in the woods discovering these things, mm-hmm, and there's nothing like it.
No, well put. Yeah, actually, that's exactly right. So what's going on with BNRC these days?
Well, same in that, you know, the events are popping. I'm trying to up my wildflower identification game. So whenever, uh-huh, I'm out on the trail, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have an app in my hand to, you know, memorize what is this little flower that I'm seeing. But Becky mentioned Parsons Marsh, which, mm-hmm, is also an accessible trail. I think Audubon uses the all-persons trail phrase. We generally call them accessible trails. But what's wonderful about them is anybody can get out there, whether you have a mobility device, a stroller, whether you're, mm-hmm, elderly or, you know, a toddler. And Parsons Marsh in particular, which is a boardwalk, mm-hmm, in Lenox, is a very short walk. It's about a quarter mile. And along the boardwalk, there's places where you can stop and rest. A few years ago, I went out there with my dad, and he had to sit on every bench as we got out there. But then when you're at the end, there's a little sort of viewing platform, and you feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere, even though you're surrounded by Lenox, because you're on this lake, essentially. And, you know, this time of year, the birds are all around you and the frogs. And it's just a really gorgeous experience.
Yeah. And that Parsons Marsh, I've been down there a few times, and it is really well designed.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a wide berth, you know, so that you can get a wheelchair or something all the way out there. And just not to keep hijacking the conversation, but I will say, I had an experience down there about 2 summers ago. There was in August when you get the Persepion meteor storm. It's something like
Perseus.
That. Thank you. That's it. So my daughters and I went down there to watch it. And
good idea.
You know, at night, you know, mm-hmm, flashlights, so we didn't fall off the boardwalk. But when we got down there, that was one of the best places to watch it. It was clear sky. And you could hear the beavers, like, slapping the water, like, hey, there's people here, you know, like, slapping the water, warning each other. But that was a fantastic spot to do. It was so dark.
It must be very dark out there at
night.
It
was very dark,
wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, so it was a great spot.
Mm-hmm. You're describing these experiences. It's like just being curious and just kind of being willing to be open to an adventure. I think that's part of, like, getting outside, and you don't know what. Just being open to anything could happen. Going out maybe at a time at night that you're not used to going outside, mm-hmm, just to see what, you know, what's happening, mm-hmm, even in a backyard or, you know, we used, I think someone used the word wilderness earlier, and it's like we have places right in Pittsfield, like Mass Audubon's Canoe Meadows Wildlife Sanctuary. You don't need to go far to be on a trail, to be hearing frogs and maybe finding one, or to explore something like a meteor shower. So I think that's one of the amazing things that we have right here in the Berkshires.
Mm-hmm.
Becky, that reminds me of the time you and I took a walk through Kennedy Park last year, and I'm always looking at my feet when we're walking. just because I don't want to trip over things. But a friend we were with who didn't know anything about birds said, what's that bright red bird in the tree right there? And neither of us, who are sort of bird people, Becky more than I am, had even seen it. But he saw the bird, and then we were able to identify it. And, you know, that's, again, it's like the magic of discovery in the woods. And I think, you know, the other thing about that is, sometimes people have a stereotype of hikers, right? You have to be fit. You have to be, you know, have a backpack and boots, and or it seems intimidating. Those hikers are different from me. I'm not comfortable with that. And so both Audubon and BNRC have sort of beginner-friendly resources. We have a brochure called Anyone Can Hike. Mm-hmm. And it gives you kind of like the unwritten rules of, you know, etiquette on the trail and what to bring and how to be safe and, you know, what to do if you have to go to the bathroom, like things that people don't necessarily feel comfortable asking about. And we have it in English and in Spanish. And it's been wonderful to see people who, you know, have never explored out in the woods before feel more comfortable. You know, we have a lot of trails that are really rugged and hard, you know, steep inclines or whatever and long, but you don't have to go all the way around the loop. You can go out and back to your own comfort level.
Right. So just familiarize yourself with the trails before you step out.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about that, you mentioned that the brochure, Anyone Can Hike, right? So are there like safety guidelines posted in there, just sort of like reminders of things that people should be aware of, like like notifying somebody that you're going
sure
for a walk,
bring
right?
water, bring a layer. I mean, we're not in the White Mountains here. We're not gonna, you know, have those sudden snowstorms, but just bringing some basic equipment. Most things people have, you know, it's not like you have to go buy some specialized ice axe or something.
Yeah. But don't rely on your phones completely, right?
Yes, don't rely on your phone. don't rely on all trails. Yeah. You know, that'll get you lost in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're still feeling hesitant, Pleasant Valley, we're open 7 days a week, and there's someone there sitting there who can help orient you to the trail system. Mm-hmm. So if you would feel more comfortable just having a conversation, asking questions, I mean, we do have folks coming in who have never hiked in the woods, and we have things you can borrow. We have mobility devices you can borrow. We have a freedom chair. We have an all-terrain rollator. We have binoculars. We have, in the winter, snowshoes and micro spikes. You know, we can help you have what you might need to feel comfortable out exploring the trails.
Yeah. But again, if we're promoting to, if we're trying to get people out there, we got to be responsible and let them know to be safe.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So make sure you bring plenty of hydration, right? Maybe a flashlight, because just in case,
just in case
it goes late, and don't rely on the light on your phone. You know, just know the location that you're at. Make sure more than anything, tell somebody that you're there, so that if something happens or you don't return or you get injured and you can't move, at least somebody's going to recognize it that you haven't come out yet. And then just, you know, plan a little bit about what you're going to do. Plan for the weather. That can change. It's not quite Mount Washington for sure, but nonetheless, you know, the weather can change here pretty quick. So
one of the things we do hear from our visitors is that people appreciate how well marked our trails are. There's good signage. The trails are well designed, so you're less likely to get lost than in,
so,
you know.
So stay on trail.
Stay on trail.
Yes.
That would be another big,
you know, that's something,
big warning. Stay on those trails, because they are well marked.
Well, not just for your own safety. Mm-hmm. You know, people ask us sometimes, you know, you've conserved this beautiful land and now you're putting a trail in it to let people in. Isn't that harmful to nature, to wildlife, endangered species? But the thing about a trail is it keeps people away from the more sensitive areas, because the trails are designed in such a way to keep you, you know, because people walk off trail in the woods all the time and, you know, create their own social trails, and that's where the damage happens. But a well-designed trail actually protects the rest of the reserve.
That's true. Yeah, if you want to be out there taking in the scenery and appreciating it, then also respect it.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep your dog on a leash. Pick up after your dog. That's people who don't pick up after their dog. I don't have a lot of pet peeves in the world, but that's one.
No pun intended, pet peeve, right?
Right.
But But to that point, from what I've understood on that is because people think, well, it's biodegradable and we're in the woods and what's the difference, right? But isn't it there's something that the biology
they can bring
of that
in
waste,
parasites,
right?
Sure.
It doesn't really mesh with the natural world.
They could bring in any, you know, depending on what they've eaten, invasive species, seeds, or and it's just not pleasant for the next person coming along too.
Now, so I just want to get that distinction here between your two organizations. So the BNRC trails do permit dogs.
We do.
Okay. But Pleasant Valley does not.
No dog. Yes. No dogs at Pleasant Valley.
And that's because it's a sanctuary, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's heavily visited. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are times where we have hundreds of people out on the trails. And it doesn't feel overcrowded, but having 100 people with 100 dogs all in one small area where folks are looking for birds and having close encounters with beavers in the ponds, you know, it's not... It's a place where people can go and there aren't dogs. We do have service animals, and because we have the all-persons trail, it is a place where lots of people do bring a service animal, mm-hmm. And that certainly is allowed.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and then with your service animals, they're a lot more disciplined.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We're lucky at Pleasant Valley. We're right next to Kennedy Park. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I love is if somebody shows up and they didn't know, oh, I have my dog with me. We have other places that we can share with them, let them know, oh, you can go just, you know, not too far this way and you can hit a trailhead where you can take your dog. Mm-hmm. Or we can, you know, offer one of the BNRC properties to. So I think it's really a way that we can all partner together, the conservation organizations. It's like knowing not just what Mass Audubon is doing, but what everyone around us is doing and where we can send people to have the experience they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot in common as organizations, but, you know, differences as well. We allow dogs. We allow hunting. You have this incredible visitor center with the people who can welcome you. We don't have those kinds of facilities. And so it's a little bit of a more, you know, on your own experience coming to BNRC Trails and less likely to be quite as crowded because we don't have that one center that draws people.
Mm-hmm. And that is another just precautionary thing because there is hunting permitted on the BNRC properties that people should just... be familiar with when the hunting seasons are.
Yeah, we always have it posted on the kiosks.
Oh, good. Okay.
But be aware. Take a minute to read what's on the kiosk and be mm-hmm. aware. You know, get your blaze orange vest or cap or whatever.
Yeah.
To be safe.
Safety first. Yeah. Safety first.
And you should really wear blaze orange anywhere during hunting season. Doesn't matter whether it's permitted or not.
True.
Wear your blaze orange.
Yes. Good recommendation. So if you're just joining us, we are in studio here talking about getting outside here in the Berkshires. And we have Jenny Hansel, who is the president of the Berkshire Natural Resource Council. And we have Becky Cushing Gopp, who is the regional director at Mass Audubon here at the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary in Lenox. So before the show, you had mentioned that there is a ballot initiative coming up mm-hmm. that you're looking for signatures. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So hopefully some of the listeners have heard about the Nature for Mass. There's a Nature for Mass coalition of not just conservation organizations, but Mass Audubon is part of this. And it's to put, as we say, nature on the ballot. So what Massachusetts does not have that actually other states do have is a dedicated funding source for protecting land, clean water, access to nature, outdoor recreation, climate projects. And so what this would do is we're collecting signatures to put on the ballot so voters will get a chance to vote on whether the state would put money annually $100 million aside from the existing sporting goods tax. So it wouldn't be that people are paying anything additional. This is a tax that's already collected, and it would just designate that this would go towards land, water, access, climate. So we're collecting signatures at Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary, and we're also going to be out and about in the community. We have some awesome volunteers. This has been a huge, I think we've collected 90,000 signatures, not just Mass Audubon, all the whole Nature for Mass Coalition. But we have Lennox Garden Club. Shout out to Lennox Garden Club volunteers have been helping us collect these signatures. So if you are interested, I know Pleasant Valley is one of the places you can sign up, and we will be out and about helping you also do that.
Mm-hmm. And are you close to your goal, or?
You know, like, we don't want to be overly confident here, but cautiously optimistic. I mean, if we can keep this momentum going, but, you know, we really do need everyone, and that's why it's been a coalition of organizations. And you know what? It is just awesome when we can all band together and work together. Jenny and I were talking about that before the show, just like how partnership in this work is so incredibly important, and how awesome that there would be an annual funding source that would be able to go towards these projects and help meet, you know, the state's goal protecting 30% by 2030. So protecting land in large acreage. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't do this alone.
Yeah,
I think we at BNRC supports that statewide goal of, I think the number that I've seen named from the statewide is to protect 100,000 more acres across the state. And so we're hoping that here in the Berkshires, we can protect 10,000 more acres. But it can't be just us. It's all of us working together. And pretty much every land conservation or protection project that we've ever worked on has been in partnership. We work very closely with Mass Audubon, with trustees, with the Nature Conservancy, and also with a lot of the smaller local town-based land trusts, which were started in the early days because of BNRC's founder, George Wislocki, went out from town to town and encouraged that with the thought that those are the folks who are in the community, knowing the landowners, sort of talking about what, you know, what do you want to see happen on your land in the next 20, 50, 100, 500 years? You know, what are your goals for your land and how can we help support that? And so I can think of, you know, half a dozen projects just in the last couple of years where maybe we got it started and Audubon came in with some funding, or Audubon got it started and we ended up moving the project forward. It's because we all support each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you talk about the programming for BNRC and that land conservation, the High Road, High Road is part of that mm-hmm. grand plan, right?
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about the High Road project?
Yeah, absolutely. The High Road is meant to be a long distance trail project that connects across the Berkshires, town to town or town to trail, so you would be able to hike, you know, from a downtown area up mm-hmm. into a nature area or longer distance hikes. The first leg opened in 2020. It's the Yoakum Ridge hike that actually crosses through Pleasant Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from Lennox to Pittsfield. You can access it from a couple different places. Mahana Cobble at Basque Ski Area is one. Mm-hmm. You can get on it from Kripalu. And we're always looking both to extend that into more directions and lengthen it, but we have other projects coming online. We have one called the Great Barrington Community Connector that's finishing up. It's another 5 miles that will open in late summer, probably. We're just wrapping that one up. We have one in Lanesboro that will connect the Ashuwiltecook Rail Trail to across through Bill Laston Park and the Constitution Hill, which is our sanctuary, and several others down the road. We think, speaking of goals, we expect to have 30 miles of high road trail by 2030. And it takes a long time to build a mile of high road, because what makes it different than most other trails is it's not just on BNRC property. You're crossing multiple private landowners' property. And so every single private landowner has mm-hmm. to give permission, and not everybody, you know, it takes a while. So we have many projects in the hopper that are developing. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, for example, on Tom Ball in Great Barrington and Alford, Tom Ball Mountain, which we conserved, I think we finished up the conservation work in about 2023, and we opened a trail there last summer. And right now it's a loop. It's an incredible, incredible trail. Just one of the most beautiful that we've done. And long-term plan is to go along the ridge in some fashion, and then it'll be another 10-mile high road route.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll be able to connect them all?
Hope so.
Yeah.
It just, you know, the thing about conservation organizations is we are thinking about things in perpetuity. We have projects, conservation projects, that the landowner first started thinking about it or talking about it in, you know, 2003. Mm-hmm. And they weren't ready because, you know, they didn't know if their kids who were still in elementary school might want the property when they were adults. And then, you know, every couple of years we check in, and then eventually, 20 years later, they're ready. And then we are patient, and we're ready to move forward when they are.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Esriltook Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, that comes up a lot in conversation here. I should have like a little bell or something when someone pronounces it correctly. Not that I necessarily
How did I do?
I think you did great. I was like, oh, yeah. You, like, without even a
I had to spell
beat.
It the other day.
Yeah.
I have to go back and check and see if I wrote it correctly.
Yeah. I got to get like a bell, some sort of like a little like alert. Like, hey, got it right. Yeah, a little cowbell. Yeah.
Esriltook?
Esriltook.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was a tongue tie situation for me more than once. So when we talk about particularly the part of the high road that covers from Pittsfield to through Lenox, that's the Yoakum Trail,
mm-hmm.
and as you said, part of it goes through Pleasant Valley. That area there, I mean, you can access it from Bosque, or you can access it from down near Kripalu,
mm-hmm.
at the Olivia's Overlook,
mm-hmm.
right? So both of those, either direction, whichever one you come from, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
you can do an up and back as well, in and out. You don't have to go from point A to point
exactly.
B.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to, since you mentioned Olivia's Overlook, that reminds me of another project that we have going. One of the less kind of romantic aspects of the work we do is, you know, when you talk about access, how do you get to these trails? They need parking lots, and the Olivia's Overlook parking lot is often overcrowded at nice times of the year. So we are working on one across the street,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the work is going on now. It should open by midsummer, and that will relieve the congestion at Olivia's Overlook and create more access for trails. We got a grant from the MOT program of the state, which allows us to improve access at 8 different reserves, better kiosks and wayfinding signage, better parking lots. At Old Mill Trail last year or the year before, we have an accessible trail in Hinsdale, and then we made the parking lot accessible because, of course, what's the point of an accessible trail if you can't get out of your car and get there? So
yeah, right. And so I know that with the trails, particularly the BNRC, I mean, you mentioned before how well marked they are, which they are, but also there's a lot of stewardship that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So are those volunteers? Do you have staff that focus on that or direct volunteers to maintain those trails?
Yeah, both. We have a stewardship staff that works year-round, and then in the summer we have a number of summer seasonal staff who the crew just started last Monday, and mm-hmm. they do a lot of trail work because we have a number of different trail programs going. We collaborate with the Greenagers a lot, too. They'll come out and work on trails with us or for us. And then we have tons of volunteer opportunities. We have over 200 volunteers who sign up for different projects, clearing trails, you know, even doing more advanced work like helping build the bog bridging. And, we offer training in chainsaws so people can use the heavy equipment.
Back to safety first.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly important. And actually, one of our goals over the next couple of years is to increase the number of volunteer opportunities because we have more people than days for them to, you know, everybody wants more opportunities to get out there.
Yeah, sure. And then same with Pleasant Valley.
Yes.
How do you guys maintain those? Those are well maintained.
Well, we do have an amazing property team that maintains trails, but we do also really rely on volunteers. And we have something called our Second Saturdays, which is a volunteer group. Everyone is invited and welcome to come to Second Saturdays. They often take place at Pleasant Valley. It's for a morning, and we usually focus on one stewardship project. So it could be a trail project. We also have been doing some improvements to our nature play area, which is an area right in the front of Pleasant Valley for kids to play, and it has some climbing equipment and some, you know, fairy tea party area, and it's a lot of fun. So that's one of the things the volunteers have been working on. And then our native plant gardens. We've been planting trees, and we've been weeding and mulching. We've been pulling garlic mustard. Mm. So if anyone likes that meditative volunteer work of pulling garlic mustard. But yes, second Saturdays, and then we do have a lot of other volunteer opportunities throughout the week.
So a lot of opportunities for people to help out. So we are talking, we're coming up on the top of the hour, so we do have to take a pause for station identification and to thank our underwriters. We are talking about getting outside and enjoying the mountains and the rivers and the lakes and everything else here in Berkshire County. So we will return with Jenny Hansel, who is the president at Berkshire Natural Resource Council, and Becky Cushing Gopp, who is the regional director at Mass Audubon here, particularly at the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary in Lenox. So we will be back in a moment, and we will continue this conversation.
Stay tuned. WTBR-FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
Thinking about starting a successful business or expanding an existing one? We've helped over 1,500 businesswomen and men do just that. We're the Massachusetts Small Business Development Center Network, located in Pittsfield, and we cover all of Berkshire County. Contact us at 499-0933 or visit us on the web at msbdc.org/Berkshire. Best of all, our services are free and confidential.
Join Peter and Jessica to relive the magic of Beatlemania every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. for 5 decades to Fab Four, where Together or On Their Own has changed the world of music. Tune in to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts, retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and welcome back after our little break. We are talking today about all things nature and getting out into the nature here in Berkshire County. We have in-house Jenny Hansel, who is the president of Berkshire Natural Resource Council, and Becky Cushing Gopp, who is the regional director at Mass Audubon and the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary here in Lenox. So we do need to just check in again with the weather, see what is in store, and then we'll pick up on this conversation.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy. Near steady temperature in the lower 40s.
northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny. Highs around 60. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly clear. Widespread frost after midnight. Lows in the lower 30s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right. That is the weather. So plenty to look forward to, right? So we are talking today about getting out in nature here in Berkshire County. We're talking with Becky Cushing-Gopp, who's a regional director at Mass Audubon and the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary, and Jenny Hansel, who's the president of Berkshire Natural Resource Council. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So there, during our break, I was told that we have some breaking news. I guess we're not the very first, but we're second, so that's pretty good. I'll take that. Becky, you want to tell us about what's going on with the Palmer Brook?
Sure. It is breaking news. So last week, we officially closed on a new property for Mass Audubon, and we're calling it Palmer Brook Wildlife Sanctuary in Beckett. And this is an 858-acre property, so a really large piece of intact, really high-quality forest in Beckett, including a 125-acre lake. It's a human-made lake. And this property was the former Berkshire Fishing Club property. And, you know, I was talking with Jenny about it because it's a property that many conservation organizations, you know, were aware of it being this beautiful piece that we would all want to see protected. And we were able to come to an agreement with the family that was selling the property. We purchased it for $5 million, and we were only able to do that because we worked with partners. So we worked with local, the Beckett Land Trust, we worked with Berkshire Natural Resource Council. We worked with the state who brought in some significant funding, and we were able to purchase the property. And now we're in the exciting point of thinking about how does it become a sanctuary? Mm-hmm. And how do we welcome people into the sanctuary and have them engage with this, the land, the water? There's a little lodge there. So we are still actively fundraising for the sanctuary aspect. We were able to secure it and protect it, but now it's fundraising. And then it's going to be probably a couple of years of a process. You know, we were talking earlier about the intentionality around designing and building trails. So we're going to want to do that in a really thoughtful way. We're going to talk to community members, neighbors, partners, and get input on how people might be interested in interacting with the land. So the breaking news is that the land is protected. There's a new sanctuary in the Berkshires, and down the road, there'll be an opportunity for people to visit and get to know it.
That's good news.
It's great news.
Yeah. I think that highlights one of the aspects of land conservation that people don't always realize. You know, before I got involved in BNRC, I didn't know that much about land conservation. And I thought, well, great, you know, rich people protecting land for views or whatever. It's so not that, because what it really is protecting land for all of us and opening mm-hmm. it up for access. Mm-hmm. What used to be private property is now mm-hmm. open to the public. And so people can get outside who, you know, don't have their own big backyards mm-hmm. or their own 100-acre forest land there. You know, I would never go to the Beckett Fishing Club. I wasn't a member, but I can go to the Palmer Brook Wildlife mm-hmm. Sanctuary and really experience mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that lake and the nature there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny, you bring up a point about access. You know, not just, you know, we've already talked about the trails that you have designed so that they're more accessible to people with mobility issues. But just in general, right? I mean, you know, I open this up by saying, you know, we want to encourage people to get out and experience these things that are all around us. But there's a lot of folks that, even though it's so close, it's just still so far away, right? Is there anything underway from either organization to promote maybe in communities that don't regularly visit the outdoors or don't have access to it? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah,
Go ahead.
Sorry. We actually just finished a project with the Conway School, which is a graduate school in Northampton that does really interesting kind of community-based projects. And they're helping us research what are the needs and what are the opportunities for providing more outdoor education or connection to the outdoors for people in the more urban areas of the Berkshires who, mm-hmm. who don't have as much access to the outdoors. Does that mean doing more educational programming? Does that mean helping create more pocket parks in areas? You know, there's an organization called the Trust for Public Land that has puts forward the philosophy that everybody should have some green space within a 10-minute walk of their home. And most people in the Berkshires have that, but not everybody does. So how can we support that goal? Mm-hmm. So that's something that's definitely on our minds.
Yeah, and if you can encourage somebody or even accompany somebody, you know, if you think about it, you know, instead of, you know, it's always nice to go for a walk by yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also fun to have someone else come along, especially someone who may be experiencing it maybe for the first time or doesn't experience it as much as you do.
We tell our board members that, like, that's a way you can support BNRC.
Oh, yeah?
That's easy, is, you know, bring a friend on a walk on one of our trails and just talk about why you care about this.
Yeah, so introduce mm-hmm. some folks to the nature.
I also wanted to share about getting kids out because mm-hmm. this is field trip season, and this is when Pleasant Valley, just school bus after school bus arrives at Pleasant Valley, and we have kids coming from all over the Berkshires. We have a lot of partnerships with the Pittsfield schools where Mass Audubon educators go into the classroom throughout the year, and in some cases, we're bringing kids out into the green spaces around their schools. I mean, you can find nature anywhere, especially if you're with a Mass Audubon educator. But then a lot of those programs will end the season by coming to Pleasant Valley and looking for macroinvertebrates. I was talking to a student who's like, we had stoneflies in our collection, or, you know, just getting so excited about these tiny little critters that came out of the stream. and it's like, you know, it gives me an opportunity to sort of relearn and re-see things through a child's eyes, but I think getting the kids who live in the Berkshires out into these spaces early helps them to know that this is something that they can access for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to be afraid, or it becomes familiar. It's a place that they can return to.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the kids that are coming to Pleasant Valley on the school trips, but you also have summer camp.
Summer camp. Yeah. So we go right from school bus season into summer camp. Uh-huh. And the sanctuary comes alive in another way where we just have, I think we're at 60 or 70 campers a day on site.
It's a day camp.
Yeah. Starts at age 4. Mm-hmm. My little one is a knee-high naturalist, we call them. And then it goes all the way up. And then we have students who become counselors in training and then eventually camp counselors. And we still do have some spots open. We do have some waiting lists, but I say to everyone, put yourself on that waiting list because we have been opening up more spots. We've seen the demand, especially for the younger campers, and so we've added some additional camp capacity. Mm-hmm. We do offer sliding scale, so if you can sign up at a different tier, pricing tier based on income. So check it out. It's Berkshire Nature Camp at Pleasant Valley.
Yeah, and I'm an alum.
All right. I think I knew that.
Class of 1980.
All right. Yeah. You know, we have a really amazing camp alum roster. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, Jane Wynn from Berkshire Environmental Action Team. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like some other.
How long has the camp been going?
That's a great question. It's something like 75 or more years, over 75 years. I mean, Pleasant Valley. So Pleasant Valley was started in 1929. Mm-hmm. I better start getting ready for our 100th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's going to be coming up for you.
That's incredible. Our 60th is next year, and I've got all these ideas that
right.
I'm excited about.
So there are still openings for the camp,
mm-hmm.
right?
There are still openings.
Yeah. And are there, what is it, like 1 week or 2 weeks? Or
you can
different?
Sign up for a week at a time.
Okay.
And we have some kids that will come for multiple weeks, mm-hmm. you know, four weeks or so. And And then some that just come for 1 week.
Yeah.
But it's different enough throughout the summer that you could come multiple weeks and you'd never be bored. Always be dirty, never be bored. We do a lot of like ponding and streaming and the older kids hike to the top. That's always a big adventure. But it is just, it's a lot of fun. The laughter, you know, that's just like, I make sure I get out during camp and interact with the kids because they're just, it's so joyful.
So if you're just joining us, we are talking about getting outside here in the Berkshires and taking advantage of all the natural beauty that we have here, the trails and the parks. So we have in-house, we're talking with Jenny Hansel, who is the president of Berkshire Natural Resource Council, and Becky Cushing-Gopp, who is the regional director at Mass Audubon and the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary in Lenox. So you can go to both of their websites. There's bnrc.org would be for the Berkshire Natural Resource Council, and then berkshires@massaudubon.org. Is that the correct website?
That would be the email, berkshires@massaudubon.org. You can go to Mass Audubon, search Pleasant Valley programs. You could search for programs generally and see all that we have going on across the state. But if you look up Pleasant Valley, you'll see what's coming right up.
And so we're talking about getting youth involved through the camps and through the schools and all the educational things that both organizations offer for youth. But while we're just talking in that sort of column, let's just touch base on your book.
All right.
Yeah,
sure.
The kids' book, right?
Yeah. What goes on inside a beaver pond? Have you ever wondered?
Is that a question or a statement? The title.
I think I like to pose it as a question. I mean, we kicked off the show today. We're talking about like nature curiosity. And I think the book is all about nature curiosity. You know, I have learned a lot over the years about beavers and the ecology of beaver ponds and beaver wetlands just by working at Pleasant Valley. And then in writing this book, realized there was a lot more that I still had to learn. And so it pushed me to go out at Pleasant Valley. I mean, it's loosely based on Pleasant Valley. So it's really fun to read the book and go to Pleasant Valley or vice versa. And it pushed me to ask questions. And I worked with an illustrator, so I didn't do all the fabulous illustrations are by Carrie Shryrock. She did them. And she would say, okay, now, can you explain to me what this plant looks like exactly? And I'd start to and say, oh, well, actually, I need to go back out to the pond and I need to look for it and then I can help you. So, yes, what goes on inside a beaver pond is it follows the life of a young beaver after she turns two and has to leave her family and start on her own journey, build her own lodge, build a dam. She meets a friend. And I'll leave you with that.
Okay. Cliffhanger. Got to get the book. Got to get the book, see how it ends. You know, to your point about beavers and the work that they do, right? They create entire ecosystems, right? So, you know, we think about what the impact humans have on the environment. Beavers are right up there, too. They can change a whole environment.
Oh, absolutely. And you've probably seen it in some of your sanctuaries, Jenny, but we at Limekiln Farm Wildlife Sanctuary down in Sheffield right now, actually, we have an active beaver situation, we'll say, where beavers came in and they built a dam right on the trail. So right now there is a little bit of a hindrance to the trail access, but you have an up-close view of a beavers in action. You can see exactly what they do because it is right on the trail. And if you're there at dawn or dusk, they're active. And we're getting a lot of, you know, photos, videos, people sending us. So, we are working to put in a water level flow device. It's one of these things you can do where the beavers can coexist with us, and it'll just help the water to go underneath the trail so that people will still be able to access. But it's a process, and for now, we're just going to we're kind of letting the beavers be beavers because it's a nature, it's a wildlife sanctuary there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really amazing animals.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of interesting things.
I mean, it's interesting that, you know, different properties have different sort of philosophies and approaches. We, you know, at a wildlife sanctuary, you're going to prioritize the needs of the beavers. But there are other places where you are balancing the needs of the humans and the beavers. Mm-hmm. At our Thomas and Palmer Sanctuary in Great Barrington, which is another one of our accessible trails, the beavers were building a lodge that flooded out the accessible trail.
Mm.
And so we put in one of these water flow devices. They're called beaver deceivers. And it annoyed the beavers, and so they moved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we needed to keep the trail. We needed to be able to restore the trail. So the beavers moved, but the people didn't know that. People came and they were upset. And, you know, what did you do to the beavers? You know, they thought that we were harming them, which, of course, mm-hmm. we would not do.
Mm-hmm.
So we put up a little sign that said, the beavers are fine. Learn more here. And it was a QR code, and people could go to a page on our website where we explained what, you know, what we did, why it doesn't hurt the beavers, where they went, because they just went downstream about 20 yards, I think.
Yeah.
And why, you know, why we have a challenge, right? We are managing for people and for wildlife, and we are managing forests that have been had heavy human interaction and intervention for hundreds and hundreds of years. And mm-hmm. so we're not dealing with, like, pristine wilderness, right? These mm-hmm. all of these trees weren't here 150 years ago.
Right.
This is all farmland. So the ecology of the forest is not sort of, and I'm doing air quotes, mm-hmm. natural exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we promote the most diverse habitat, the most healthy ecosystem, which creates the most climate resilience for the long-term mm-hmm. future? And that requires some intervention, whether it's beaver deceivers or removing invasive plants or even cutting a tree down to create habitat for animals that need that open mm-hmm. open sky and lower shrubbery and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or there's something called a slash wall that we're experimenting with on one of our properties, and that keeps the deer out of an area. You know, that we don't have natural predators for the deer anymore, so we have this huge deer population that's decimating mm-hmm. a lot of the forest and the
right.
understory. So a slash wall keeps the deer out, and then you can compare what grows in the deer-free area compared to the area where the deer are. So there's a lot of science and research underpinning Audubon's work. We look to Audubon for their science. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a array of experts that we can call on if we have questions, but we have folks on our team, too, who really understand the ecology and can make those good choices.
Yeah, and it's a lot of science, a lot mm-hmm. of work making those balances, and
mm-hmm.
and there is a lot of design involved.
Yeah,
especially because, like, as you pointed out, 150 years ago, most of the hilltops here were clear cut.
Exactly.
You know, you could see from one to the other without any trees in the way. And so, you know, thank God it's come back, which, you know, does tell you if you kind of leave it alone, nature does come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's had to be some human intervention just to kind of keep things in order.
Yeah.
And be able to strike that balance.
Right, because what comes in is not just the garlic mustard, but the bittersweet and the mm-hmm. you know, Japanese knotweed. And so if we don't want those taking over and squeezing out the native species, which then affects the native pollinators and the birds and the mm-hmm. wildlife, we have to intervene.
Yeah, for sure. So going back to Pleasant Valley for a moment, I know you've got some events coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have
a couple of really fun bird-related events.
Okay.
Can I tell you about Birdapalooza?
Birdapalooza, no. Yes, of course. Yep.
Folks may remember Birdathon, which was like a 24-hour intense competitive birding competition.
It's a competition.
But Birdapalooza, we've sort of broadened this to Birdapalooza, which does have a competitive, there can be a competitive aspect to it, but it's more about getting outside, having fun, looking for birds. I'm hosting so there's something called a big sit, which birders will be familiar to birders, where you sit in a stationary point and you count how many birds that you can, bird species in like a 24-hour period. We're going to do a little sit. We're going to do a two-hour at Pleasant Valley. So I'll be hosting Saturday morning. I think it's 8 to 10. I will be there on our All Persons Trail. I'll be there with my cup of coffee and my in a seat, and I welcome everyone to come by. We're going to count how many birds species we can see in here in 2 hours, and we'll just keep a tally. And the competition part of this is that our other large sanctuary in Western Mass, Arcadia Wildlife Sanctuary, which is out in Northampton, will also be doing a little sit. And so we'll be comparing notes at the end of our little sits to see which site saw more. In addition to the little sit, we also have a lot of programming. We have, I believe, a birding by ear program happening. So these are all programs that you would register for. But the little sit is you don't have to register for it. You can just show up. We're also going to have some nature bingo and some scavenger hunts and some other activities that people can do. So this is sort of like an all ages come one, come all to Pleasant Valley and experience Birdapalooza.
And then you've also got a road race coming up.
We have a road race coming up. So we have the Wild Thing 5K, 10K. It's June 13. And we hope that you'll sign up to either run, walk, or volunteer. We're looking for all of them. And this is to support all of our programming. The run starts and ends at Pleasant Valley, and then it heads out and goes into Kennedy Park. There's sort of a section of Kennedy Park that Mass Audubon owns, and then it goes on to the rest of the trail system. So the 5K is, I think, a pretty, if you're not experienced doing trail races, it's a pretty accessible 5K, meaning it's like wider trails. I will say the 10K is pretty difficult. So if you're looking to challenge yourself, that gets onto some of the narrower trails within Kennedy Park. And a couple of things to note: every person who signs up gets a Blue Q tote bag. Those are cool. And then new this year, we're making these little wooden finisher tokens that everyone will get with a little carabiner, so it'll commemorate your experience. So we hope you'll sign up for that. I also wanted to put in a plug for another program we're doing for the first time this year, which is Friday, May 22nd. Wine and Warblers. So this is 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Pleasant Valley in collaboration with Deer Bottle Shop. So folks will be able to taste and then select a wine. We're focusing on wines from South America. I think we're going to make some loose connections to the birds that are coming back from South America. We're going to have a presentation on not just warblers, but lots of the birds that are coming back. And then we're going to do a bird walk so you can, you know, enjoy a glass of wine. And we'll have non-alcoholic options as well, some food. But wine and warblers, we hope you'll join us.
So lots going on.
Lots going on.
Yeah. So both of you guys have been on all these trails all over Berkshire County. I'm actually going to be down at Stevens Glen later today for something.
Oh, I love that one. Those waterfalls.
That's a great one.
So lovely.
It's a little steep, but you've got that wonderful staircase that you've built for access back out. And it's not a long one. It's a short hike with a beautiful waterfall, and you've built that overhang, that sort of balcony over the waterfall, so you can get a good look at it. So I'm just curious either one of you or both of you, what's your favorite trail?
Oh, I knew you were leading into that. I can't answer that.
You know what's a really great one at BNRC? I mean, I'm going back and forth in my mind between the very south county at Clam River, which is just, you feel so remote. It's this just beautiful rolling river, or all the way to the north, the Hoosick Range, which if you hike all the way up to the top, the views going north are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I guess I think I'm going to have to go. We were talking about Yokin Ridge earlier, and there's a hike you can do. You start at Pleasant Valley, and you can either go up the Trail of the Ledges or the Overbrook Trail. You get to Lenox Mountain, and then you go across the Yokin Ridge Trail, and you get to Yokin Seat, which is sort of the lesser-known summit up on Yokin Ridge, and the views are just beautiful, incredible. So I think if you can get yourself up onto Yokin Ridge, that's one of my favorite trails.
Yeah, there's a lot of good opportunities up there on Yokin. Mm-hmm. So we've got about 1 minute left. What would you like people to know? How can people help you? How can they support your organizations?
Well, none of this happens without support from the community. We're publicly funded, donor funded. We do get some grants for the acquisition of land, including from Audubon. But the day-to-day work, the trail crews, we really depend on community support. And you can learn all about that at our website, bnrc.org.
Mm-hmm. MassAudubon.org. Same. We'd love your support. And we'd love to see you at the sanctuary. Come by Pleasant Valley. I'm there almost every day. We can talk about beavers.
Yeah. All right. Well, Becky Cushing-Gopp, from Regional Director of Mass Audubon and Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary, and Jenny Hansel, President of Berkshire Natural Resource Council. Thank you both for being here, talking about getting out and walking and hiking and enjoying what we're fortunate to have here in Berkshire County. So everybody else who's joined us today, thank you for listening to us at WTBR and WSBR. We appreciate you tuning in every morning to hear this show. If you've missed any part of this, you can always watch us. The video is recorded on PCTV. So please enjoy the rest of the week. Please keep in mind the men and women of the armed services who are serving overseas, and enjoy the rest of the week and get out and get a walk in. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.